Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Good morning, beautiful people of the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa.
Good morning.
Thank you, gentlemen of the band. And I it's lovely to see you. I'm seeing some old friends I haven't seen for a while coming out of the shelter in place to sit here spread out. It's very lovely to see you. And I'm sitting here looking online. I see you online too. And it's so wonderful to see who's watching. I see Martha McCabe's one of our regulars, and Sue Robeson, and sometimes they put chats in, so it's quite lovely to feel this hybrid virtual and in-person togetherness all happening at the same time according to each person's comfort level and desire. How wonderful that is. And thank you, Reverend Rice, for talking about the safety and how we are adhering to it so that we can do this safely. It's lovely to be here. And it's a new month. And with a new month comes a new topic focus. Do you know how that works? It's like this little, I was going to say army, but that's not a good word to use, is it? There's a little troop of, it's not a little, it's a huge troop of people who every year, about 12 months in advance, get together and they vision. In other words, they ask, what is Spirit's highest idea for our entire movement? What should we talk about? And as they receive, we'll call it a download from the divine, they create 12 monthly topics and themes, and then they go about creating content and sending it out to all of the centers and all of the study groups. Now, you know how we are. Nobody's going to tell us how to do anything, right? So each center customizes it to their own, for their own use, using a bit of this, using a bit of that. But the overall feeling is that if you go almost anywhere in Centers for Spiritual Living, you're going to see some of this thread connecting us together as we talk together. Now, to show our commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, I can share with you that this month's theme content is created by people in Peru, Argentina, Mexico, United States, and Spain. They collaborated in their own language, and we made it possible that the content would still get to us who speak another language. So that's beautiful. I don't know where else that happens. And talk about reaching higher. That's what the theme is for this month. Reaching higher than whatever is going on right now in your life. Right? It could be good. It could be that you find yourself in a pandemic. So reaching higher is what we're talking about. So I got some notes out from a presentation I gave at one of our conferences, because I know many of you weren't there. So I'm going to give it again. Because the topic's the same. It's about whatever is going on, reaching beyond it. So we turn to one of my favorite books in our movement, Living the Science of Mind, in which our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, writes these epic words. He says, "It is certain that none of us receive as much benefit from this teaching as we might." What? The first time I read that is, what, we're not getting everything we can? Why not? And so he explains, it's because we do not let our consciousness range in the field of greater possibilities Now there's a sentence for you. Those are his words. To range in the field of greater possibilities. So if you and I want to reach higher than whatever is going on, we have to let our thinking range in the field of greater possibilities. In other words, not in the field of lesser possibilities. You know where this is going, right? So the word range is lovely. To range means to wander around, which we don't do on the stage because they've got to keep us in the video. We've got little lines over here. We've got to stay in the narrow confines. We're not allowed to range. But when it comes to consciousness, we are to range if we want to go beyond what we already know. So to wander around, to roam with an attitude of an explorer. So here's my question for you. It's really for me. Do you make a habit of ranging in the field of greater possibility for your life? Or is your habit to range in the field of greater problems? Nobody's saying nothing. We've been talking about this in previous months, how the brain has a tendency to terribilize. Yeah. So the habit of ranging in the field of greater possibilities has to be intentionally developed. Huh. Now he goes on, Dr. Holmes, in Living the Science of Mind. And by the way, if you like that book and you want to know where it is, it's on page 339. It's worth reading. He says also that we ought to take specific certain time. You see, you have to mindfully go for this. You've got to take time every single day. Now listen to this. What for? To do this. For the enlargement of your consciousness. How? Well, one of the primary ways we do it is using our imagination. We've got to use our imagination. You've got to use your imagination if you want to go further, higher, or beyond whatever is going on in this world. Because the further, higher, beyond isn't what's going on right now. So you've got to have your imagination. You're in the world of creative making up. Thank you. Right, people, you know, we got to do that. Otherwise, we get stuck where we are. So here's an example. Imagine that the pandemic is over. So you see what that does right away. Imagine the pandemic is over. What are you doing in that world? It may be a little bit of what you used to do, and it may be a little bit of what you didn't. You may have to be imaginative. What are you feeling? And do you make a habit of ranging in that field of possibility? Or are you roaming around in the realm of drama? This is really a message for me. You don't even have to listen. It's nice of you to show up. And it's not all that Dr. Holmes says in that passage. He goes on, he says, oh, this is really good. He says this. There should never be any sense of finality in this work that we're doing. You got to have flexible thinking. In other words, don't ever think that this, whatever this is the end. That this is all there is to it. Don't go there. Don't get tripped up because you can't imagine a way through how things are right now. No, never. I mean, if there was such a thing as religious science blasphemy, that might be it. It could be. So instead, rather, expect the outcome you have in your mind, as imagined as it is, to begin to reveal itself to you, one way or the other. Maybe even in a better way than you imagined, or maybe in a different way. But, well, here's what he says. Expectancy speeds progress. Anticipation of better yet to come helps dissolve the overload of burdens which we now carry with us. Oh, how I love that he acknowledges that the world has burdens, right? Because people will say we're just positive thinkers. Oh, the world has burdens. In fact, he says an overload of burdens. And by the way, he wrote that in the 50s. And it's as true today, because each time, each era has its overload of burdens. Don't you dare think that's all there is to it, right? So right now, we've got an overload of burdens. We have a severe drought, among other things. You know, stuff is going on, you know. So it can seem, you know, when you hear a message about metaphysically imagine, it could seem like it's an ill-advised luxury to be roaming around in your mind, dreaming up greater possibilities in your imagination when there is so much stuff going on. How can you have a playful spirit, right? Yet, these days, even scientists are acknowledging the importance of inner spiritual work at the same time as outer practical scientific work. Gus Speth is a U.S. advisor on climate change, and he said in an interview about the environmental issues that face us on the planet right now, on the whole globe, he said, I used to think that top environmental problems were biodiversity loss, ecosystems collapse, climate change. I thought that 30 years of good science could address these problems. I was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to deal with these, we need a cultural and spiritual transformation, and we scientists don't know how to do that. Amen. But we religious scientists, we may know how to do that. In fact, we are uncovering a recipe today for how to do it. Here are the points so far. We've got to let our minds reach higher into the field of infinite possibility. We've got to make a habit of doing that. We've got to not accept that whatever's going on is the end of the line. We've got to rise above whatever the average normal thinking of the world is, and we've got to do that by taking time daily because it's a skill set that must be intentionally developed. And we have to keep on bringing ourselves like a horse to water to that realm in which we think in terms of possibilities. So we've got a recipe. Now we just have to do it. Yeah, it can be challenging to let our spirits soar when there's so much going on. Thich Nhat Hanh, he describes it as a deep malaise, you know, an illness that comes from lack of connection, lack of caring, lack of communion. And he says it's like there's a kind of vacuum in the in the populations of the planet, and that we are trying to fill this hole, this vacuum, by we're trying to fill it from the outside in by eating, reading, consuming, binge-watching TV, purchasing, overworking, whatever it is. And he says that as we do this, trying to fill ourselves from the outside in, we're exposing ourselves to so much violence and tension that we absorb every day that it turns out that many people are time bombs ready to explode. That's what he says. And we need to find a cure for that illness. Similarly, the Dalai Lama, he said something that it's kind of like what that scientist Gus Speth said. The Dalai Lama said similarly that material progress alone is not enough for us. That won't do it. He says, no amount of legislation or coercion can accomplish the well-being of society. Wow. Because the well-being of society depends on the internal attitude of the people who comprise it. So we would call that consciousness. The well-being of this world, this time, with its problems, depends on consciousness. The internal attitude is the consciousness of the people. And so that resonates with us. That resonates with our view at Centers for Spiritual Living. We have this idea that global transformation can come about through individual personal transformation. We have an idea, it's a crazy idea, that one effective way to bring health and happiness and wellness and wholeness into play, how to change this world, is to provide the inspiration and tools for individuals to rise to their spiritual magnificence so that they know that they can range about in the field of infinite possibilities and that it makes a difference. It's all connected to this idea that the realm of mind is as creative, if not more so, than the world of action. It's not a new idea. You know, Ernest Holmes didn't think it up. It's been around a bit. Even before Jesus of Nazareth said, you know, it's done unto us according to what we have a weight of faith in. And Don Miguel Ruiz talks about the importance of dreaming the new dream for this creation. And by the way, Reverend Russ is going to be teaching a class using the four agreements of Don Miguel Ruiz. He'll tell you about that later. So when we talk about the power of our creative thought ranging around in the realm of infinite possibility, we're not talking about some new idea that was just thought up in Santa Rosa yesterday. Oh no, everybody already knows it. The habit has to be mindfully cultivated to do it. I have a friend is not a member of our center. He has a different faith tradition. He thinks we're a bit out there. Bit woo-woo. I wear that as a badge of pride. Anyway, I was talking to him. I had a publishing deadline that I was stressing out about. You know, every age has its problem, right? Every day has its problems. Yeah. So I was stressing out about my publishing deadline, and he says to me, you know, Edward, when I was in school and I had a homework assignment, and it was, for example, due on Monday, I would just say to myself, that assignment will be submitted on Monday on time, and I would just trust that to work out somehow, and it always did. So I said to him, really? Is that so? How come it makes sense to you if you say it, But if I say it, it's fringe thinking and woo-woo. So we had a good laugh about that, you know, we love each other. I mean, we were saying the same thing with our own words. He was saying something like, if you put your mind to something that is larger than what is going on right now and sincerely accept it, then something is going to be influenced. It, you know, you get it. He was saying the same thing. Now, I don't know why he thinks that that kind of intentionality works. I know what I think. I think it works because of what we're made of, because of what lives in us, because of our kinship with the spiritual universe that surrounds us and infuses us, because we are made in the image of and likeness of that which creates, and because imagination is a wonderful thing that allows us to think up things that have never been thought before. So back to the recipe we're developing. We must let ourselves play in the field of imagination. We must nurture the habit of imagining a greater yet to be beyond what is currently going on. And we must practice accepting ideas about our lives that are greater than what we had yesterday. We've got to let our consciousness loose. We've got to take time daily for it. For the, what did he call it? The enlargement of your consciousness. Now, how can a person enlarge their consciousness? Well, you know, by what we feed it. You know, I got a new dog in my life, and he would eat junk food all day if he could. He loves the treats, you know. And you know the treats, they're high reward food because they're super yummy, tasty, but they're no good for the digestion. Not if you eat them endlessly all day. You get sick. You see where I'm going? Are you making yourself sick? I mean, I can begin by asking myself, what am I feeding my consciousness regularly? What do I think about a lot? What's the stuff that hooks me? Because probably right there is the room, the space where there is room for me to get bigger and rise above and use my imagination, even though the junk food is calling me back. So we're invited this week to be a little more adventurous in our thinking and to dare to imagine a life in which different political parties can talk to each other without creating enemies. Can you feel the junk food trying to pull you back out of that? We're being invited to imagine a world in which the unsheltered people of the world, well, are treated with kindness and respect. Well, why not even bigger than that? In which homelessness is a thing that used to be. We've been invited to imagine a world in which the excess of food that is produced in developed nations is redistributed to where it can be useful. We've been invited to well, it's your imagination, and it's your world too. Let your thought roam about in the field of infinite possibility. Imagine a world in which gender, race, age, and everything else is embraced as not necessary or tolerated, but as the way of things. And here comes some advice from Alice. She said, "But I nearly forgot. You must close your eyes, otherwise you won't see anything." You get that right? Whatever it is, we must rise above, not in the sense of denying what is, but invoking our creative ability. We must do that work too. I love that. You know, because we are not only dealing with the world, but we are seeing through to the other side. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, when the prince says to Krishna, "I want to see the divine glories." And he says, "You can't, not with your ordinary eyes. You have to look with spiritual vision." That's what we're talking about. Or you've heard it said this way, "Judge not by appearances." You got to look beyond. So here's an important note I must make while we're talking about growing your consciousness through your imagination. This work of creative imagination never replaces taking action in the world. All of the people I've mentioned were all movers and shakers and influencers, and they all understood the importance. Yes, use your imagination and also do your duty in the world. You got to do that also. You got to speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. You got to help when help is possible to give at the same time. So in other words, please do not mistake this message of metaphysics to be, "Oh, just sit down and ignore the world and think pretty thoughts and it'll all work out." No. Because without the foundation of unity and oneness and kinship, this can be a little superficial. Without sincerely investigating what the divine is to you, without exploring that ground of all being and understanding it a little more every day, you won't have the foundation, and then this just becomes a pep talk. Without authentically sensing your oneness with creation and with the divine, you might turn out to be one of those people who just want to get something from nothing, for nothing, who want to be rescued by the old version of God instead of having this relationship and taking a stand and exercising your agency and being responsible. It's very, very tempting to think that metaphysics is simply positive thinking, when in fact positive thinking without a foundation of love and oneness can be very problematic. It can lead to selfishness. So I trust you see how important it is to have a sound spiritual foundation when talking about such things as wealth and prosperity and abundance and droughts and social justice and equity, etc. So think with me for a moment about a personal or a world issue that is troubling you. Now, there is likely many to choose from. But for today, just think of one. It could be a personal health situation. Maybe it's a relationship that you're working on. Maybe right now you're thinking about the drought. Or maybe you're thinking about Afghanistan. Something, let just one thing come into your awareness. When I have something like this in my life, I give myself a little moment to just think about it freely, you know, give myself permission to think about it, even worry about it. Because I know there's going to come a time in my practice when I'm going to, like cleaning a table, move all of that thought aside to rise above. And sometimes I have to do what Alice says. I have to breathe in and close my eyes so that I can see clearly with spiritual vision. And it helps me, and I invite you to do the same, to travel in my consciousness forward in time, to a time in the not too far future. To imagine the situation is resolved. Because that is where I'm going. I may not know how, but I want to tune myself into the feeling, the tone of the feeling of that imagined world in which the situation I'm thinking about is resolved. I want to identify with that tone, whether it is peace or wholeness or safety. I want to so attune my mind and consciousness to it that I become like a beacon for that quality, not only for myself but for all of creation. I want to saturate my thought in that imagined outcome. Less concerned with the details or how it is to come to pass, and more concerned with the feeling of that imagined greater yet to be. And as you imagine that, I share with you these words from the same chapter in Living the Science of Mind from Dr. Holmes. He said that if we are to increase our receptivity in our work, we ought to say something like this to ourselves. Good and more good is mine. And ever increasing good is mine. There is no limit to the good which is mine. Everywhere I go, I see this good. I feel it. I experience it. It crowds itself against me, flows through me, expresses itself in me, and multiplies itself around me. And I love that last line, multiplies itself around me. In other words, not for me alone, but for the good of all and the harm of none.